Good morning, friends. Today's scripture reading is from Psalms 2. Hear the word of the Lord. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make nations of your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling kiss his feet, or he will be angry, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Happy are those who take refuge in him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, to be like a tree planted by a stream where abundant waters flow, to bear luscious, glorious fruit every appropriate season, and have leaves that never wither, to prosper in everything that one does, personally, in the family, in the community, in school, in work, in service, to be happy, blessed. Is this God's intent? Yes. For those who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on God's law day and night. And the wicked, they are driven away like chaff of the wheat. The way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the scriptures that meet us right where we are. We praise you for the living word, for your Son who forgives us and draws us to a future of hope. Draw us now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the Psalms are introduced to us in Psalm 1. And the introduction continues in Psalm 2. Many ancient transcriptions of the psalm and the numbering of the later psalms lead us to believe that Psalm 1 and 2 were read together by the early Jewish community of faith. The reader is encouraged to plant roots of faith deep into the Word of God. And the psalms are a place to meet God in this first hymn book, prayer book, coronation liturgy, prayers of lament and statements of grief for the Hebrew people, well, for all people. And our ancestors in the faith took this mandate very seriously from Psalm 1 and hid these words in their hearts. The evidence is clear, for over 40 psalms are quoted in the New Testament and 84 verses are cited. The Psalms bring sense and order to our lives in times of chaos. Later in this sermon, we'll see this so clearly in Acts chapter 4. So from our feet dangling in the streams of cool water to roots planted firmly and deeply by living water, this morning we climb up to the heights of heaven to view the nations of the world. The Goyim, the people of every race, nation, and tribe. And a voice says, "Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth, the rulers in every shape and form, set themselves up and conspire together against the Lord Almighty and against his anointed, saying, We want nothing to do with any authority over us, especially God Almighty. Let us break any bonds that would tie us to God and cast away any cords that would restrain us. It's about me, my power, my will, and my way. This is a theme in human leadership that has echoed across the millenniums. And what does God Almighty do? You heard it. God sits in heaven and laughs. Laughs and holds leaders in derision, in contempt. And then there's God's wrath and fury. To the oppressive regimes of time past, where anywhere in the world people are oppressed, God Almighty gets the last word. And to stand before the King of Kings and be judged, evil ones will perish. And God has set God's chosen king on Zion, on God's holy hill. There's a pause in this psalm, and the voice changes. And historically, we believe that this is the voice of King David, the second king of the 12 tribes of Israel. I will tell you the decree of the Lord. And we think that David speaks not of his coronation in Hebron, but his anointing by Samuel in Bethlehem. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask me, and I will make the nations, the people of every race, nation, and tribe your heritage, and the end of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. And David's shepherd's crook becomes a rod of iron that can crush and kill the enemy. And then God speaks again. Kings, rulers of the earth, be wise. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Kiss God's feet, or you will perish on your way. For God's wrath is kindled against you. And the second chapter ends just as the first began. Happy are all who take their refuge in God. So where does ultimate justice come from? In our faith tradition, we believe that all justice comes from God. God decides what people deserve. But we must confess that there are many realms of justice circling around us in our day and age. I've never lived in a place before where so many people are thinking about matters of justice. But justice for whom? Justice for all? Who do you trust? Who do you support? What theories of justice do you believe in that will bring the best for all? Do you put your hope in our criminal justice system? In a social justice system where there is opportunity for all? Do you believe in the theories of natural law, that justice is associated with the survival of the fittest? Do you believe in punitive justice or in restorative justice? Where do you pledge your allegiance? The second part of this psalm is a dire warning. It is also a prophetic word announcing the Anointed One, the Messiah, the begotten Son, Jesus, our Messiah. He's the only King of our lives. To him we owe absolute allegiance. And yes, we will respect earthly leaders. But we will know that they are always walking on thin ice, always. Always walking on the precipice of wrath and the judgment of God Almighty. Today, during the offertory, you will hear Ethan Green, our bass soloist, sing one of the four pieces from Handel's Messiah that are inspired by Psalm 2. Four, most unusual for Handel. And then what follows after Psalm 2? The Hallelujah Chorus. King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. And so what of human leaders? What is their role, whether they know it or not? We believe that public leadership is a divine trust. Violate that trust, wrath. Wrath now or later. And what is the decree of the Lord for these earthly rulers? What is the plumb line, the standard of the law? We know the Ten Commandments. We as a congregation have spent several months studying the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. But do you hear what Pastor Donna called us to worship with? The words from Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Do these decrees of heaven and earth permeate the reality of earth? Do we find the simple made wise, rejoicing in the heart, enlightening the eyes? Fear and respect for the Lord. Ordinances that are so true, ordinances are rules, and righteous, that they ring with righteousness. Does God have authority over our rulers today? Or is this an ancient construct that does not even apply? I believe that it applies every single day. And in Psalm 72, we find a prayer for guidance and support for the king, for any leader, male or female. The whole psalm is copied for you to read in the sermon notes if you would like to download it later. It says, "Endow the king with your justice, O God. May the king leader judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the ruler defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May the king crush the oppressor. For the king will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. The king will take pity on the weak and the needy, and will save the needy from death. The leader will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight." The word of the Lord. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, speaks of a judgment of all nations, not just Israel. For those that were called to live on this earth and to follow the decrees of the Lord. From Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food.'" I hope you know the rest of this passage. This is a judgment of individuals and of nations, of people. Each ruler in authority cannot avoid judgment, nor any individual either. But you and I can be ready by abiding in the Word of God, by confessing Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our Mediator, our defense attorney, and living now according to God's divine decrees. So we always have to ask ourselves, how much time am I going to give to studying God's word, to living in the pages of Scripture, learning the cadences, the images, the values, the decrees? Will I be willing to lose myself in the pursuit of Christ, the anointed Messiah? Will my allegiance be to him first? before my family, before my country, before my baseball or football team, before my favorite video game or shopping site? Who has captured my heart? You and I will be judged. In fact, I sense a judgment all around us now. The world is under judgment. Will we rise and move forward, or will we be dashed because we miss the mark, the divine decrees that have been set before us? For just a moment, I want you to join arms with me. Wouldn't that be grand? And leave this sanctuary through the double doors and enter the narthex and the court of flags that speak loud and clear to the meaning of Psalm 2. God is the God of all nations. As our eyes rise toward the heavens and we see the flags of many nations, we know that some of the flags are out of date. One of my four-year-old vacation Bible school students this past year pointed that out to me one Sunday. He's five now. But each flag stands as a very visible sign that God is the God of all nations, and that nations rise and fall, but God is the King for all time. We understand that people have a great affinity for the flag of their nation. Flags are a symbol of our loyalty. As many of you know, we would not have found an American flag or a Christian flag in a Presbyterian sanctuary, and in fact, any Christian sanctuary before the early 1900s. How did the United States flag and the Christian flag make it into the front of almost every sanctuary in the United States? It made it into the sanctuary after the great immigrations of the late 19th century. Rally days, Sunday school parades, especially here in D.C., Philadelphia, New York City, and Boston, were organized to make sure that the national flags represented by the people in our neighborhoods were carried in these great parades and marched into our sanctuaries and posted so that the people of nations would know that they were welcome. Ultimately, the Pledge of Allegiance would be written for the citizens of the United States. And Flag Day was decreed for our nation by President Woodrow Wilson on June 14, 1916. The flags here represent God's people across this globe. God is the God of justice for every nation and people, all people under God. This is a time of listening and learning and understanding allegiances and the stories of other peoples, of people outside our nation and really right now within our nation, of their experiences, not presuming but understanding, of seeing how God's divine decrees apply to all. Because of the privilege of ministry, I've stood with others, often in times of pain, and asked, how can the Church of Jesus Christ stand with you here? In African-American congregations of Trenton, New Jersey, I was told, stand with us and help us rebuild the fabric of our lives, of our families, that were torn apart by the practices of slavery. Hold on to us in our ministries. Support us as we minister to our men when so many of them are in prison. Join us in our celebrations as we tell our family stories, as we worship, as we celebrate Juneteenth and Kwanzaa. Be with us. In Yuktigavik, Point Barrow, Alaska, I was told, let us manage our own native corporations. We have wisdom and education to manage. Don't do it for us. On the Colville and Yakima reservations in Washington State, and with the Nez Perce leaders of Idaho, I was told, please honor our burial grounds. Do not develop communities over them. And if you're going to enter, please ask first. Listen to us. Don't do unto us or for us. Respect us. All nations, all people under God. Who gets to tell the history of a people? Who's on the right side of history? Who gets to govern? Who gets to tap into God's righteousness? Our family history, the Martin Emery history, is full of stories that put warning into our hearts as we learned them from our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. We were told, be very careful ever thinking that you are standing on the right side, for our family has been divided over the political allegiances and the wars of this country. And I've been able to face this family history head on while serving in your midst here. I've had the chance to learn things I never knew. I could talk about this a long time. I'm going to just tell one part. I could never figure out why James Martin left Philadelphia after the Revolutionary War in the 1780s and went up to Nova Scotia. Only here was I really introduced to the Loyalist movement. I'd never paid attention. I was never listening. Loyalists who stayed true to the British crown vacated and went to Nova Scotia, Florida, the Bahamas, and other places. I'm learning their stories. And we have many stories to hear that make us feel uncomfortable in our own family histories and our history as a nation. And I, with many, say, where is God? Where is God now? When millions have lost their jobs and are now unemployed, when so many businesses are figuring out how to remain open, or completely shut down. Why are there so many people living in the midst of violence, where brutality could erupt any moment, especially if your skin is black, and you face those who are called to keep the laws? Why are more people behind bars than ever before in human history? A new kind of slavery. Why are tens and tens of thousands grieving the loss of loved ones during this pandemic? Are the decrees of the Lord still true? Are they timeless? And I say yes. They must be, and they must be written on our hearts so that we learn to read and act upon the decrees of the Lord. I end this sermon this morning ruminating with you about the ministry of Peter and John, as recorded for us in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John were hearing people in Jesus' name, healing people and speaking to the people, teaching that Jesus rose from the dead. The priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them and were super annoyed with them because they were speaking a different narrative, a different reality. So Peter and John were arrested and put in prison. And when they were brought before the authorities, they were asked, "By what power do you do this?" Jesus was the name. And they were ordered not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And they reply in verse 19, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." And then in verse 23, "After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servants, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This too is the word of the Lord. We are a part of this ongoing work of Christ, of bringing divine decrees of the Lord to reality. God wants to use our hands to stretch out and heal the broken hearts of our day, to perform signs and wonders that bring life and justice for all people, nations. We live in a secular society. As a student of history, you would be hard-pressed to convince me that we are more secular than any other time. Convince me. What matters is that when movements, not political parties, but movements, catch the fire inspired by the divine decrees of the Lord that make a difference to change the world. Listen to the words of C.S. Lewis. I have received no assurance that anything we do will eradicate suffering. I think the best results are obtained by people who work quietly away at limited objectives, such as the abolition of the slave trade, or prison reform, or factory acts, or tuberculosis. Not by those who think they can achieve universal justice, or health, or peace. I think the art of life consists in tackling each immediate evil as well as we can. End of quote. I believe that God is calling you and I, us, to be a part of a movement. And it can only happen when we sit near the tree whose roots are deep, taking in the sustenance of God's will and way. When we understand the tree of eternal life bearing fruit for every season. When we sit at the foot of a cross, a tree, where our Savior died, and immerse ourselves in his values and believe that God is the God of all, every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth. Everyone has value. Everyone will get what they deserve. Happy are those who take refuge in God. Amen. So be it. Will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, you are just and holy. You love us, and you know what we deserve. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave his life so that we might be forgiven and freed, for freed to live the decrees of your law, giving ourselves for others. Guide us as individuals and as a community of faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.